Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I hope everybody has been enjoying your daily, hourly, and even on the minute distractions regarding what's going on in the news. Today's not going to be a marketing day. I will probably take care of some marketing tomorrow and our following episode, as well as giving you my perspective on Constitution Day celebrations and so forth. However, as you know, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that is adult enough to actually talk about the real problems, the real solutions, and if you are ready to start talking and acting upon these solutions, let us know. Send us an email, info@ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. There is no doubt in my mind that the only way we are going to get the federal government back into compliance, and I'm not talking about just getting rid of the Department of Education. As you know, if we just get rid of the Department of Education because Trump, you know, disbands it, or the Department of the Interior or anything, the next despot that can come along will redo everything, because there has been zero challenge regarding the authority and the authenticity of the federal government being able to exercise these powers. It's pretty clear, folks. The problem is that the federal government does not have the ability to assume any role, responsibility, or power without the states delegating that power. Madison was clear in 1817 when he rejected Congress's attempt and actually vetoed their bill in trying to create the Department of Transportation. And it wasn't just Madison. In a few years later, it was 5 years later, they tried to do the same thing with James Monroe. And James Monroe vetoed their bill and basically said, you have to amend the Constitution if you want to exercise this role, responsibility, or power. I'm paraphrasing. Nobody used the terms role, responsibility, or power. But those are the things. They're either a role, it's a responsibility of the federal government, a role of the federal government, or a power delegated. And sometimes they're all three. But to be very clear, James Monroe vetoed the exact same attempt in Congress's trying to create this ability to tax the states so that they can do whatever they think is necessary and proper in improving our highways and our waterways. The only constitutional responsibility the federal government has in dealing with our highway system are post roads. I've explained this before. A post road is a road that will take you from your state capital to the capital of D.C., our nation's capital, our republic capital. I don't like calling it our nation because each state is a nation. If you understand the definition of a state, a state is a sovereign, just like Estonia, just like Chile, just like Russia. If you understand the magnitude of the United States, that is why we're the most powerful nation, because we recognize these sovereignties of these 50 independent states. Just like Russia is an independent state. The only difference is that we have gone into a union delegating very specific powers. And as we've allowed the federal government to create this national power of unlimited government, then we have lowered ourselves into a Russian type of state, a Chinese state, or even a British state. They're all different republics. They all have different provinces or states or what have you, colonies, commonwealths in Britain. The big difference is that we're not supposed to be letting them just do what they want to do. We're supposed to keep them in doing those things that they are supposed to do, and that is it. So again, if you want to get involved in really solving the problem, then let us know, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Our listen number, as you know, is 605-562-4209. Now, I want to wrap up where we are with the concept of, well, we started off with the concept of liberty and the wiring between those who are on the end of the spectrum of full liberty and those that are on the end of the spectrum of full subjugation, and how if you support liberty, there is no way that you can understand how somebody, unless you really think, you know, you have to think conversely. You have to think in the exact opposite of how you feel to start understanding these communists, these subjugationists, those who want to enslave you for the good of the state, because they believe the state knows better and they want to empower the state to be able to do what is necessary to control you, to control society. They are the antithesis of those who are on the liberty side of the spectrum. They don't believe that you should be free to choose for yourselves. They believe that you need to be compelled into doing what is necessary. And that is the opposite end of the spectrum for the subjugationist in looking at how those who believe in liberty think. And actually, they understand how you think, and that is how they can ensnare you, entrap you, and create an uneven playing field. As a matter of fact, Adam Weishaupt, in his charter in creating the Illuminati, came right out and said, we are going to use tolerance. I'm paraphrasing, but he said, we're going to use tolerance as a weapon against our enemies, because he knows that there is tolerance in those who believe in liberty, those who are Christians. Christians believe that no person should be compelled. At least the old world Christian believed that. We have literally perverted Christianity for people to think that, and you hear politicians say this all the time, oh, if Christ was alive today, he'd be a communist or a socialist. That is the furthest thing from the truth, and that is a complete perversion of Christianity. Christ never said that give it unto government to actually take care of compassion. No. Christ was clear. He said that every person is responsible for their own compassion. And actually, there is nowhere in the Bible, and there's no references whatsoever within Christendom that says that man must be compelled by society to be compassionate. No, you have to be willing to do those things. If not, that's basically a sin, or that's an individual cognitive decision in departing from the philosophies and doctrines of Christ. You can't be compelled into salvation. You cannot be compelled into being compassionate. You either do it because it is the, you know, it's what Christ wants us to do, or you don't do it, and I'll just say you either fall away, you live in sin, whatever you want to call it, but you're not following his teachings and his example. Remember, Christ said, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. But compassion is something that is supposed to be a spiritual, I'll just call it a spiritual process that each of us are supposed to do. There is not a requirement. It is something that we have to willingly do. You know, Christ wasn't required to atone. Christ wasn't required. In other words, he wasn't forced. He atoned. He was crucified. He died for us because that was his and our Father's choice. And you have to understand that that is the concepts of liberty, willingly and making the cognitive choices in doing what you're supposed to do instead of being compelled and being told. And so those folks on the side of subjugation are clearly living and leveraging our doctrines and philosophies against us in saying, well, oh, you're Christian, you're supposed to be compassionate, you're supposed to be tolerant of all ideas. Because they know that that is the doctrine. We are supposed to be tolerant of each other. You know, it's pretty clear that, you know, I have come out in my position regarding homosexual marriage, abortion, and those types of things. Those are just sins. Those are wrong. But clearly, I am not advocating grabbing these people out and stoning them. And if you look at the rancor, if you look at the rhetoric that is coming from these progressives these days, you would think that that's what we're purporting, those of us who are talking about taking civil control of our society and stopping the, what's the best word for it, in stopping promoting sin and actually what I always call the work and the advocacy of removing the consequences of sin. Because as a society, we have been working very ardently in trying to remove the consequences of sin. And that's an evil society in doing that. We shouldn't be paying for abortions. We shouldn't be paying for your health care if you've destroyed your body because you've lived a riotous life of drinking and you've destroyed your liver, your kidneys, or whatever you've done. There are consequences to your decisions, and we all have to be responsible and carrying those responsibilities forward. Anyway, I don't want to run out of time here, so we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Anyway, as I was trying to summarize how we've kind of, I don't want to say meandered, of how we've kind of progressively, and that's a good word, progressively moved from the concepts of individual liberty and subjugation, and how our society has moved from endorsing and protecting individual liberty and individual sovereignty to a point now where we're basically at the precipice of slavery and enslavement. Not slavery to some plantation, unless you want to consider the federal government the master and the plantation who wants to push us into global subjugation. Because bottom line, if you look at all their oppressive regulations, if you look at everything they're doing that they have no authority to do, they are ratcheting slowly, one step at a time, taking over and taking control of every facet of our life, from how much water you can use to flush your toilet. It's nice to be a environmental conservative. In other words, trying to, you know, maybe save yourself water, but that is your choice, or that is your state's choice. That is not the federal government's choice. It's not an enumerated power. Same thing with the type of light bulbs that you can use in your home. And getting rid of incandescent lighting to moving us towards. And the only reason you can still buy crappy, if you haven't noticed, incandescent light bulbs don't last hardly any time whatsoever. I find that some of the incandescent light bulbs, especially the General Electric incandescent light bulbs, actually burn out very quickly. And they know that they're eventually going to have to clear their shelves of these things when they finally get to a point where they can say, this is the lighting source that you have to use. And they're trying to force us into every single direction and to control every facet of our lives, from the types of cars we drive to a point where they actually want autonomous driving cars. In other words, where you don't have to do anything. We're basically going to be living in and trying to push us towards a society like Minority Report, where they actually have full control over every facet of our lives, where you can't just get in a car and put your pedal to the metal and drive away as fast as you want to, or stop when you want. Bottom line, as we talked about individual liberty and individual sovereignty, we also started understanding the concepts of laws of our society, that we have natural law and nature's law. Natural law really goes more hand in hand with the concepts of old world societies, where if you understand a king and his natural inheritance to the throne, or these concepts of leaders and family aristocracies, those types of things, that falls more under the concept of natural law, where it's just natural that those of a certain family are going to rule over us, and we have to throw those paradigms aside. I don't know how we got back into this, other than the fact that if you look at... And I like talking about this too. If you look at how Israel, when Moses took Israel out of Egypt, he got rid of idolatry, he got rid of all sorts of things in their society, and he also got rid of monarchy. There was no longer going to be a king. They were going to live by the rule of judges and by the law of the land. And that's why it was a theocracy, I get that. But the fact was that they weren't living to the whims of a man, and it took 400 years for Israel to finally say, we want to be screwed up just like the rest of the world, and we want to have a king again. And so they went down the path of kings and creating monarchies, because they believed that they needed a king because everybody else had him. And they actually abandoned their process. They actually abandoned their form of government for the worldly or the natural law form of government, instead of more of the nature's law of accepting very specific functions and norms for their society, that these are the laws that we need to abide by. And these were commonly embraced laws. Nature's law is... If you want to look at it as a secular, in other words, non-faith denomination, all Christian faiths basically came to the table and said, we accept these as, you know, as standard laws that we all agree with, that we were created, not evolved, or what have you. Because even in ancient Greece, the ancient Greece philosophers fought over and brought in concepts of evolution, environmental, Mother Earth, all those types of things. these fake gods as well. So we moved from the concept of liberty through the concepts of natural law, which moved us in towards this new form of government, American republicanism. And as we got into this concept of American republicanism, I really dove into this new form of representation. Most people just still today can only fathom this concept of representation of the people, not of sovereignties. The people being a sovereignty and the sub-elements of government being a sovereignty. They are representatives at different levels. And so at a higher level, we have to recognize that we have delegated sovereignty to our county commissioners. We've delegated sovereignty to our supervisors, county supervisors. We've delegated sovereignty to our state legislatures, who have far more power over us than the federal government. The state has the ability to control our energy, to control our highways. All of those things were left for the state government. That's why the Federalist Papers constantly said this, as well as the ratification debates and the framers. This was just a common understanding. The states had far more control over the citizens than the federal government. The federal government was limited to the enumerated powers, and that was it. They were important enumerated powers, like declaring war, national security, those types of things. They were important. But they weren't all-encompassing. And so I say this a lot, and I'm going to say it again. If you want to start understanding your government and how perverted it has become, just like scriptures, if you want to understand your religion and how perverted your religion has become, then you need to read the founding documents of your religion. I say this more specifically for Judaism and Christianity. The other religions, they, you know, some of the stuff that they have in their founding documents or their theological documents are pretty perverse already. That it's okay to kill somebody because they refuse to convert to your religion. In other words, these are pretty disgusting religions that believe in compulsion and force instead of in embedding the concepts of liberty within their society. But let me move forward. So we got into this American republicanism, which is why we just finished up going through the recension of the 17th Amendment and why it is so important, because we have lost checks and balances within our system that was designed upon checks and balances. And it was also designed in ensuring representation for the states. As I said, the 17th Amendment didn't go do away with who the senators were supposed to be responsible to, but by changing how they were elected, it changed that constituency in perceptions, which is why the senators are no longer responsive to their state legislators, because they're not the ones picking them. It's the globalists paying for their elections so that they, you know, again, the old term, he who pays the piper calls the tune. Instead of, even though the Constitution clearly dictates that the senators are supposed to be doing the bidding for the state legislatures and they're supposed to have their suffrage, the fact of the matter is their suffrage has been stolen from them through this concept of democracy. And so American republicanism has been perverted through the new progressive era amendments, the 17th Amendment more specifically. Now, it's not just there. We also started turning our back on American republicanism within our state. So if you understand the importance of representation, what I want to do is I want to get into what has to be done to change our states to embrace American republicanism again. We already know we got to rescind the 17th Amendment to get the checks and balances of representation, American republicanism, back into our federal framework. But what do we do about the states? Because if you start looking at almost every state out there, every state is being ran by the population centers. That concept alone is repugnant, and it defies the framework and the designs that the framers had put in place to protect the minorities from the majorities, whether that be at the state level or what have you. That is why Article 4 of the Constitution said, guarantees that every state be Republican in form, meaning that they were not going to be able to be allowed to have democracy or mob rule, that the minority would be protected at the states as well. So we're still moving forward and trying to wrap up these concepts. So we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so we have this problem of true republicanism within the state. Bottom line, when we look at what the states are doing, we clearly see how states are being ran by population centers and how the form and the concepts and literally the running of our government has shifted towards democracy. We have placed a position and moved our constitutional framework towards the Virginia Plan, which was overwhelmingly rejected by the Constitutional Convention. The Virginia Plan was that we would have a centralized government that would have unlimited, almost basically a general government, and that the states would become administrative fronts for that general government. And that whole concept was, and the apportionment of representation was strictly done by population, that the entire state, so Madison's Virginia Plan was truly flawed, and Madison did not understand how flawed his thinking was until they went through the debates of the fundamental forms of how to create a hybrid constitutional republic in delegating very defined powers to our general government. Now, I want you to understand this, that when Madison heard this concept of American republicanism that came forth from Roger Sherman, there's no doubt in my mind, Madison was blown away. It was a concept that absolutely escaped him, and he realized the security and the safety. And here was a man willing to put aside his own pride in design to say, no, because how many people do you know that, you know, come forward with a solution and then get on board with somebody else's solution as it comes forward? Most people defend to the death. And when, you know, they lose their little vote on trying to get their solution through, they live the rest of their life defending their position and solution and constantly saying, see, if we did this, then we would be better off. That is the fundamental nature of man, to always protect, to always defend their decision. How many people do you know that went out and made a dumb mistake in their marriage, made a dumb mistake in their purchase of a car or buying of a home, and how they constantly defend, oh, well, yeah, these things have really turned out to be lemons, but I still bought the, you know, what I believe is the best car, and I still think it's the best car. That is a propensity of man, or human beings, human nature, that we always constantly try to justify our thoughts, our existence, and so forth. It's the same thing with organizations. This is one of the reasons why some organizations will refuse to get on board with Republic Review. It has nothing to do with the authority of the states and my assertions, my academic assertions, and how I prove that Republic Review is the only thing forward. And I know it sounds like I might be defending this, but I'm here to tell you, if somebody comes along, there have been points in time in my life and my career that somebody's come along and said, hey, as I was an engineering leader, there was a point in time when somebody came along and said, hey, we want to take your network engineering and move it into a different organization so that we have all network engineering all combined into one small cadre, into one group, instead of being a part of a larger group, because there's some uniquenesses with this discipline. And I recognized that. I saw that. And I didn't even go fighting. I actually supported that transition. Here was the problem. In that particular case where I actually relinquished two of my network engineers from my integration center of all the different things we were doing with this multi-billion dollar program I was supporting, what ended up happening was this was more of a political ploy and just trying to take control. They never fixed all of the other problems. The problem was perceived that because my engineers were out of the loop on the integration side, because what was happening was the design folks, I'm going down this tangent to just show you how, you know, we can actually recognize that we need to do something, but sometimes the plans are flawed, and I'm not one that would actually defend it because it's just my idea. If it actually makes good sense, then you should get on board with things that absolutely have irrefutable evidence that proves their theory. And so in this particular case in network engineering, and I just want to, you know, tell you this story, because this is how you get on board with something. So the whole concept was that from the design and from the procurement and from the integration side of network engineering, I truly believe it was better to put them all together so that they could all work together to improve the design, the procurement, so forth and so on. What ended up happening was they moved my integrators into the centralized network team, and they still had compartmental processes where the design was still done in a vacuum, where they weren't including the integrators. Because what ends up happening is when you have a bad design and the integrators have to go and try to make that work, they go, well, why didn't you go with this? Why didn't you consult us and use this? and that problem still persisted because, again, the people that came up with the idea, even though it was a great argument, they had no intentions in actually implementing that. It was all about control. And so as that moved forward, it became, I'll just say, ammunition for me to go back after those personalities that said, hey, you absolutely said that you were going to actually, you know, change and innovate this entire process so that it would be a, you know, a full end-to-end involvement with everybody as a team instead of, you know, operating as usual with compartmentalization. And what ended up happening was we ended up actually fractionalizing the organization again because we couldn't get the leadership to actually implement a better plan, the plan that was sold. And so that's what happens. But there are always times when people do listen to reason and people do actually, you know, go through the facts and say, you know what, this is a better solution. Now I'm asking you, if you think there's a better solution, like the Convention of States, if you think that the democracy is a better solution, then by all means, let's have that conversation. We'll see. We can work through all of the facts, and then we will find out really where the evidence and the facts point us. Because bottom line, there is no evidence that anything other than Republic Review will get the federal government into compliance. If you believe that the federal government's compliance is foremost and paramount in saving our Constitution Republic, then you understand Republic Review and you can't refute Republic Review. There's lots of people that try to refute it. And like I said, there's organizations that refuse to get on board, not because Republic Review is flawed, but because their organization loses relevance. It is the concept of self-preservation and self-relevance why organizations like the John Birch Society are in their position that they're in. I believe that the Constitution Party is going to jump on board with Republic Review at the national level. I believe that anybody that understands the Constitution and the framework and their end goal is to get the federal government into compliance first before we start really changing anything, then I believe that those people understand, or once they understand Republic Review, they will be wholeheartedly, you know, embracing these concepts. So, back to the counting, back to the states. I'm sorry I went down that dialogue in the engineering. But the bottom line is, population centers were never supposed to drive the governments of states. The whole fact of Article 4, Section 4, that the United States guarantees that every state be Republican in form, is the concept that the counties are protected sovereigns, and this is why bicameral legislative bodies were created. So you would have representation of the people and representation of the counties, and it was done by the counties. In other words, you didn't just apportion the population based on the counties, or I should say based on the population of the people, so you had your people of 5-10 counties being represented by one representative. Because the interest, if you look at the California, 10 California counties that are all piled together into single representation for the Senate and for their representatives of the people, I'm telling you, those 10 counties are very disparate and have disparate interests. And so the population centers are getting excessive representation, and that is how they're able to put in programs that benefit them, and they tax everybody for those types of programs, whether they be like a mass transit between the different counties. You could have, and there are transit systems between San Diego County and LA County, such as, you know, and they call it Amtrak, but those rail transportation lanes are being supported by the state funds, which means that they're taxing everybody instead of those folks within those counties. Because I'm telling you, those people out in those 10 counties in the hinterland,
there's no benefit for them, and they would have stood up and said, no way are we going to let you tax us for your benefit. That is tyranny. So when we come back, we'll get into that solution, and then we'll talk about what we're going to be doing, because I haven't even hit the obligatories yet of going out and buying Red State Coffee.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so what do we do about population centers destroying your state and destroying your liberty? What do you do? Well, as you know, the Constitution guarantees a representative form of government and that your counties are sovereigns, and the concept of sovereign representation is clearly the American Republican form of government. So what you have to do is you have to get your counties to demand a constitutional convention for your state. Your counties would then submit delegates that would go, and the way the constitutional convention should be ran is just like the original constitutional convention and other state constitutional conventions. And the counties all need to insist upon equal representation, just like the states had equal representation during that constitutional convention. It was not apportioned by population. It was apportioned by the sovereigns of the counties. Your county commissioners, your county supervisors are sovereigns. They're supposed to be sovereigns, and they're supposed to be protecting you from state tyranny, just like the state legislators are supposed to be protecting you from federal tyranny. Here's the problem, and here's the rub. Because the Democrats are all out communist and they want mob rule, with a Democratic Congress, this concept of trying to get rid of your population centers would fail. We really need to pray that we can get a Republican-controlled Congress once again. If we can do this in 2020 and ride the shirt tails of Trump, this is very important because this window of opportunity will sail. Because in 2022 and 2024, the useful idiots from our education system will never relinquish, and we will be basically relegated to democracy and communism
because of the voter blocks that are coming out of our education system. Every year, as if you've listened to this show, I talk about this all the time. Every year, 4 million dolts, 4 million useful idiots are being projected or being propelled into our voter process. And this has started way back in 2010, 2012 timeframe. If you look at the demographics, we have lots of kids that are in the education system, which means that these marches for life and surrendering liberty and this embracement of communism and socialism will become the norm, and these kids will vote away their liberties before they recognize what they did. And then when the day of reckoning comes, they'll look in the mirror and they'll notice that they cut their nose off to spite their face and they didn't even know it. So the fact of the matter is that we need to understand that we have to vote. The most important elections that we have coming up in 2020 is really getting our representations in Congress and our state legislatures to not be rhinos, to be those who support republicanism, individual liberty, and especially Republic Review, because Republic Review embraces all of these things. But then, when we get a Republican Congress, that is when every state needs to act. And the problem is getting this message out to everybody. It takes a lot of time and effort. I need your support. Here we get into a little bit of obligatories here. To travel to these different states, to have the time to be able to reach out to the county commissioners and to create teams to do this, we need your support. Whether that's your time to lead your county in these concepts of republicanism and getting your county supervisors, your county commissioners to doing their job and preparing them to call for a constitutional convention in your state in 2021. If we win, we have to be prized. We have to be in the position to be able to attack in 2021. We need several states: Indiana, Illinois, Washington, Oregon, Nevada, Idaho. We need lots of states to actually recognize this whole concept and be poised to strike and demand a constitutional convention and getting rid of, because what happens in a constitutional convention? The counties now have an opportunity to make massive changes to the Constitution and the powers that the state government is exercising. How limited do you want them to have control over education? That the curriculum is no longer dictated at the top level, the curriculum is dictated at the bottom level. You want to make sure that they don't have anything that is being done by the state that are federal mandates that are unconstitutional by the federal government, you get rid of them, the environmental protection crap. If you want to have one, you make sure that your environmental protection agency at the state level is not responding to federal demands, that it is responding to the needs of the state and the needs of the people. It's the same thing with every other thing, whether that be energy and whether that be healthcare. Everything needs to be taken back and completely disconnected from the federal government. The federal government has no jurisdiction over all of these things. These aren't my words. These are Madison's, Nicholas. There's all the great men who actually spoke and defined the Constitution during the ratification debates that clearly stated these limitations were hard and defined within that Constitution. The problem is that those definitions and terms of the contract were lost. But I'm telling you, folks, we can restore American republicanism. We can move your state back into embracing these concepts. Even California can be brought back into the concepts of republicanism. If we have a Republican Congress and we have counties in California, if you go look at the counties, the majority of the counties are red. California could then have a state constitutional convention and those red counties could actually save the state of California and take back their ability to spend on needle exchange programs and all these other ridiculous, destructive social engineering programs and literally turn that state around. That's how we do it, folks. But that's only the initial swing of changing our focus. We have to make sure in 2021 that state legislators start getting the understanding and the concepts of republicanism and republic review. And then in doing so, I believe the electorate, those kids might actually wake up into these concepts and go, wow, how come nobody ever explained this to me? This actually makes sense. Instead of this mob rule thing, which we can see has very destructive ramifications. Let's look at France and the French Revolution, when all of a sudden mob rule took over. Next thing you know, there were heads literally rolling, whether that be Antoinette, whether that be the king, the prince, and anybody who had any form of power, they were killed because the people didn't like what they did. And that's what happens when the people take over and you have a mob rule. And as a matter of fact, I'm telling you that there were lots of people that were killed that if you would have left it up to the real population of the state. But what happens when you have mob rule? You get despots. Aristotle talks about this in a great book that I highly recommend called Politics. He talks about how a despot rises up to power using demagoguery and getting everybody to convince that, oh, we need to give this guy our sovereignty so that he can take care of all these things because that's what we think we want. And next thing you know, you've got this trail of tears. Next thing you know, you've got this bloodbath, and everybody regrets putting that person in power because they look at the loss of life and that trail of blood and go, oh my gosh, what did we do? The majority of the people actually become remorseful for letting that happen. But by that time, it's too late. That person has been locked into power, and you just have to shut up or you will have your head roll off the guillotine. And those are the fundamental principles that we are dealing with. And these are the things that we can do in literally changing the course of your state and changing the course of our republic. I hope that these last few lectures or these episodes that I have taken you from individual liberty to using American republicanism as our solution, because the divine hand of providence inspired these concepts. And there's no doubt in my mind that these are such true concepts that these concepts protect us from tyranny, not even then, but today as well. The truth is irrefutable. That is one of the reasons why I believe that Republic Review is irrefutable, because it is based on the truths in the founding of our Constitution, or our hybrid Constitutional Republic. With that, what we're going to be doing tomorrow is we're going to be going through Madison's property. And once I'm finished with that, then we've covered, I think, some fundamental bases, and we will actually get into the marketing for why you need other reasons why you need to be vested in Republic Review, as well as just getting up on top of some of the news. I am G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review, so please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty.